Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
You're listening to the PHP podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect. This is episode 2025.04.17, and I am Eric Van Johnson, and with me is John Congdon.
Now that our screens, our cameras are on.
This podcast focuses on all things PHP and web development. We also touch on the larger PHP community and the general life of being a developer. And of course, we're going to talk about our company, PHP Architect, our magazine, the books we publish, and our upcoming conference, which is a few short days away now.
33 days away, to be exact. Oh, my goodness.
We record every Thursday around 3 p.m. Pacific time. This podcast is made a little better thanks to our partners over at honeybadger.io. Honey Badger helps you deploy with confidence and be your team's DevOps hero by combining error, uptime, and performance monitoring in one simple platform. It's free to get started, and setup just takes a few minutes. Be the hero your team needs. Suit up at honeybadger.io. We're going to talk about them a little bit more later. If you don't watch the live stream and only listen to the audio podcast, we would love to have you here in studio with us as the podcast is being recorded. And you can do that by joining two things. Our YouTube channel, youtube.com/PHP Arch, and hit that little bell to get notified when the stream starts. And then also pop into our Discord at discord.phparch.com, where you'll see the stream is already kicked up. You already got A Woods in there, OFFS in there, and Jeffrey Davis in there. So welcome, everybody.
Yes, welcome. I want to know already from OFFS, which I don't know why we're not saying the full thing, but what's with the annoyed?
Because nobody wants to have to listen to this podcast live, but but they make the time to do so, John. He's talking about our Discord, where GIFs get posted.
Yeah, you don't get to see it there because it's just a link in the stream, but
yeah,
I'm curious what he meant.
We can't say his full name. But we've got to get, I think the thing is like 5 minutes out or something. If you say it too early, YouTube gets mad at you.
Ah.
Rules, join us for the live stream. It's a lot of fun, and pop into our Discord.
Mainly jump into Discord and be there all week.
We never go away. We just hover. We linger. You turn off the lights to go to bed, and we're there. We're there watching you sleep. So yeah, pop into Discord. Be part of the
team. Sarah's here too.
I did something weird yesterday. So I'm going to for our audio listeners. I know I've been putting you the audio listeners down on like a lower tier because you're not part of the live show, and I don't mean to do that, but you know, you really should be part of the live show because that's all the fun is. But back in the day, we've been podcasting for a while, right? And back in the day, when we first started podcasting, editing was a nightmare. Because we recorded all of our audio separately, and like everybody's audio would start to drift, and you'd have to sync everything back. It was horrible. But with for the past 4 or 5 years, we've been using this service, Restream, which really has streamlined a lot of the post show stuff we do. That's why I'm able to get the audio version out pretty much like in a couple hours after the show ends. But even with that, what I used to do is I used to start the editing of the podcast from when I started talking, and then I would separately pull in the intro, which was that the little elephant pops up and the lady is nice enough to explain the mistakes you've made in life and you're getting ready to listen to our podcast. But with Restream, and John actually called me out about it last week. He noticed last week that when we're leading into the podcast, so again, if you're the audio listener, you don't know this, but we usually start the stream a couple minutes before we actually start talking because we want to give everybody an opportunity to join us. We realize like we'd be 10 minutes into the show and people would have joined and had missed the first 10 minutes. So we usually give them, you know, 3 to 4 or 5 minutes to join, and we play this music. And it eventually leads into that intro. So for a long time, I was like, shoot, I already got the intro on there. And last week, I introduced a little break before the intro, a little silence pause, because when I'm editing, I can see it right away. I'm like, all right, there's the break. Here's where that intro part starts. I'm just going to delete everything in front of it, be done with it, and not have to worry about it. I don't have to go hunting for it anymore.
Right.
Really proud of myself.
And I didn't call you out. That sounds a little extreme. I said, hey, I noticed you put the little clacker in there.
Yeah. It wasn't a bad thing, but yeah, you noticed.
There you go.
So I'm like, all right, you know, I was happy. I'm like, all right, cool. This is pretty cool. And I had stopped. So back to when we first started doing it, I used to listen to the podcast after I did my edits, I would listen to the podcast. And then if everything sounded okay, I would publish the podcast. And then I would listen to the published version of the podcast. And I did this for years, And within the last couple of years, I'd gotten really lazy where I was confident enough with my editing process that I didn't feel like I needed to listen to the podcast in its entirety again. And this week, I'm like, you know, it's been a while. Let me listen to one of the podcasts. And I listened to it and I heard that beginning. And I'm like, this is horrible. How long has this been like this? Why hasn't anybody told me this? So now what I used to do, and I don't know why I didn't think about it, and I wish Restream would have this ability, but the intro, so the lady comes on, says her bit, and then there's music leading out. I used to talk over that music. The initial intro used to be over top that music, but now that music ends. But it doesn't just end. Where we think it ends, when we're doing it live and we think it ends and I pick up right at the end, although today was an exception because our cameras were on.
Cameras are off.
But in the final edit, there's actually a longer pause of silence there.
Really?
And I'm like, oh, that's bugging me. So now I got to go back to manually. I got to find that intro on my computer now and manually pull it in again because it just bugs me.
Or that's how it goes. Can't you just cut out that silence versus having it?
Well, no, because it's still this abrupt, the music ends and then I'm talking. And there's this, it's not a gradual, the music just doesn't fade away like it used to.
Gotcha.
It's probably something, clearly nobody's noticed. Nobody's said anything about it, but I notice and my brain won't let it go.
Well, Sarah's not going to let Roundtable go either.
I was trying to ignore that. I was trying to ignore that one.
I'm calling you out on that one. That
nobody has said anything. Nobody has noticed Roundtable hasn't been around in a while. Yeah, Sarah, it's a good question. I got to admit, there was a time where I was a little burnt out and decided I was done with everything. So Roundtable might be. I don't know. It might be time to start Roundtable because there's been a couple times where it's like, hey, you know, it'd be good to have a discussion with a few people on this topic. And I haven't done it. And I always think about Roundtable when I do it. And yeah, you're right. I should probably do something. If you have an idea, you know, you're part of the Roundtable crew. If you have an idea or something you want to talk, let me know. We'll set up a Roundtable. That's not it. That's all I got to say. Can you hear me, John? Are you going to talk?
Are you talking? Nah, just kidding. I was listening to you, barely. I'm reading Discord. See, you got to be part of Discord to be part of the live stream. If we just all just sit here and read Discord, podcast is done.
That's the whole show, right? We can just stream the Discord. John and I haven't actually talked this week. This is my first time speaking with John. So he didn't tell me he was taking off. I just found out on Monday when he wasn't in the office. I'm like, what the hell?
I had it on the calendar. I thought we had talked about
it. No, you didn't have it on the calendar.
I thought we talked about it last week on the show. Now you got to go listen to last week's show to find out if I'm in the office or not. No, originally I was supposed to be out all this week on that ride across California.
Oh, was that this week?
That was this week.
How'd that go? I mean, obviously you didn't participate in it, but do you guys get updates? Do you know how they're doing?
Oh, yeah. Well, I have friends that are doing it, so that I see them posting on Facebook all the time, like end of day one, end of day two. So yeah, it seems to be going well outside of, you know, lots of wind. So happy I don't have to deal with that.
So again, I feel like I need to explain this because even here in the U.S., people don't have a sense of how big California is, wide and you know, tall as well. But so to go from, so even here in the U.S., and I know it's like this in other countries where countries are not very big, but here in the U.S., on the East Coast, the Northern Atlantic area, we have a cluster of states, right? And going into multiple states in one day is like a common thing. Matter of fact, my first job as a carrier, I used to drive into 2 to 3 states, like Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Virginia, or West Virginia, one of those two, and then even the District of Columbia. And I would do that all in one day. And it was nothing, right? I mean, it was easy to mistakenly go into another state. When you get to the southern part of the East Coast, in the middle part, the states start to get bigger. And then when you start hitting the West Coast and Texas and California, they're large. They're like the county of San Diego County. So San Diego is a city and it's also a county. The county of San Diego is probably larger than some states here in the U.S. It's massive, like probably larger than Rhode Island. So to ride your bike from Arizona, the border of Arizona and California, to the coast of California is no small feat. I mean, for an adult, much less children.
Yeah. It's just under 300 miles. It's like 265, 270 miles, I think, is what they're doing in a week. Yeah.
Well, it's more than just... See, you just say, "Oh, yeah, it's just 200." Oh, yeah. You know.
There's also the hills.
There's a freaking mountain range.
You gotta go over the mountain.
And it is a very large. I think you get up to like 6,000 or 9,000 feet when you go through that mountain. So you can easily drive through it, and there will be snow on the ground. That's how high up this mountain range is. So yeah, it's not like. Yeah, 300 miles of downhill for a bike ride.
Right. Good point. Very good point. Yeah. So, unfortunately, we're not doing it.
Yeah.
Get a chance to do it again in a couple of years with the with my younger son. So instead, we just went to Palm Springs, which is the desert, a couple hours away from us, and relaxed. You know, got a little time away for spring break. Hung out with the kids. You know, play games. Took my younger one skateboarding because that's like his passion right now. He loves doing that. And here we have a bunch of skate parks near us, and he goes and doesn't take lessons. It just goes with a group of people, and there's a guy that runs it and constantly teaching him new tricks or new things to do. So it's a nice drop off. He's there for 2.5 hours and it's great. We asked that guy, "Hey, do you know of any good skate parks in Palm Springs?" And he told us this one. Oh my God, this place is huge. It's got so much to do, and it's got a huge pump track for bikes and scooters and skateboards and just a big skate park. We went in the morning. They didn't open till noon, which is weird for the desert because it gets so hot, but luckily it wasn't a super hot day. We go for a couple hours and then we're like, "We can go back later if you want." So we went back to the hotel, went swimming and all, and they're like, "Hey, Nolan, you want to go back to the skate park?" "Yeah, I want to go back." So we go and he skates around and we're getting ready to leave. We're going to go get dinner. He's like, "Dad, can I show you one more thing?" And he goes and he tries this, just going over a spine. And he wants to do that. And he goes and all of a sudden he flies up 15 feet in the air, land, like the board goes back on the same side he's on. He goes over the spine, lands, slides, and he thought it was a blast. Okay. He gets up laughing and he goes, "Dad, can you videotape this or can you video that?"
So you saw the first time.
Yeah, I saw it and I'm like, I was scared, but he loved it. He's like, "Dad, can you video this?" I'm like, "Sure." I go over and I get in a good position. I video it. Does it. He's like 15 feet up in the air. I'm guessing based on watching him fall down. except he goes too far forward and instead of landing on the downslope, lands on the flat part. So I ended up going to urgent.
Probably wasn't as smooth of a landing as the first one, I imagine.
No, his shoe went flying off, so I'm not exactly sure how he landed. But like, I got the camera on him, and then I see his face, and I immediately put the camera down. I run down to him, and like, he's crying. I'm like, oh crap, he broke his ankle or something bad. Luckily, nothing broken. Took him to urgent care. Doctor's like, where he's pointing at and hurting, like, it's very hard to break that bone.
Yeah.
So I doubt it's broken, but you can go get an x-ray.
Mm-hmm.
And that night, like, he's hurting. We get him Motrin and all that. And then the next morning, he's hobbling around on it, but he's still complaining about it hurting.
Yeah.
Within a couple hours, he's running all over the place and he's fine.
I just picture, I don't know why, but I just picture this like desert doctor, Palm Springs, is like, yeah, I doubt he can break that. Yeah, he's probably getting checked out. Like, why do you think I'm here?
I know. So we walk in, this is like just after, or right around 8, just after 8 o'clock at night. And there's like 10 urgent cares in this area. All of them closed except for one that's a children's urgent care. I'm like, okay, we go there. Outside on the building, it's an imaging place. I'm like, great. If we need x-rays, this is the place to get. Nope, they don't do x-rays. And my wife's like, should we find somewhere? Because we know he's going to need an x-ray. I'm like,
right.
I expanded my search. And like, every one of them was closed outside of the hospital going to the emergency room. I'm like, so our options are sit here for 20 minutes, talk to a doctor and get his take, or go sit in the emergency room for 5 to 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to stay there, talk to him. He's like, he said the same thing. You can go wait in the emergency room for 5 hours or just wait and go get an x-ray tomorrow.
Rub some dirt on it, kid. You'll be fine.
I mean, he's in there. He's moving the kid's foot bones all around. He's like, yeah.
Did mom see it in real time?
No.
Did you show mom the video?
Oh, yeah.
You should not have done it. That was probably a bad move on your part, but you do you, man.
Nah, it's all good. She knows stuff he does.
Yeah.
He's a little crazy kid.
So he's all right now? He's doing good?
Oh, yeah. He's fine. He's all over the place. He's acting completely normal. He says it still hurts a little bit, but he woke up this morning rotating his. Yeah, he got up this morning rotating his ankle. Like, Dad, look, I can rotate my foot. It doesn't hurt as much.
Yeah, don't worry. He'll remember it when he turns 30 and can't like walk in a straight line anymore. He'll remember, but you know, you're fine. You'll be in the clear by then. Don't worry about it.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been a while. We actually had to go. We actually went to the ER in the new place we live a while back. But fortunately, it was a true ER sort of situation and we didn't have to wait. But yeah, our healthcare system here in this country is not the best, especially ironically, especially if it's an urgent matter. It's just like, you know, to seeing people, because it was bizarre because like I said, our situation required like immediate attention, so we got the immediate attention. But I'm in the waiting room, like I'm walking back and forth between the waiting room and you know where this person is, and like you're seeing people in the waiting room like holding bandages soaked in blood and mm-hmm. you know like holding like little barf bags. It's like, wow, really? Just everybody just here not feeling well, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what about, yeah, I guess you haven't been doing any coding lately, huh? Nothing serious?
Not until today, and trying to catch up on everything from being gone for a few days.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that, but Will says that San Diego's 4 times the size of Rhode Island.
Is that confirmed? Because I would believe it. 4 times seems like a lot, though. But I definitely think it's bigger than Rhode Island. I mean, well... Yeah. San Diego County. We're just talking about the county. Yeah, he says San Diego County. Yeah.
Yep.
We should look that up. I'm sure there's a tool you can do that. How big is San Diego County? San Diego County.
We can move on from that. We don't have to stay.
No. You got it going now. The 4,300 square miles with 70 miles of beach ocean, roughly the size of the state of Connecticut. The county is 65 miles north of Philadelphia. Yeah. Yeah, Yeah, it's big. It's a big place, man. San Diego County is huge. Yeah, that's all I have to say. Now we can move on. We move on when I say we move on.
Oh, is that how it works? I
yeah,
see.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how it yeah. works.
I know you want to see the video, A. Woods. I would be happy to share, except my son really doesn't want me sharing it. And
that's fine. Just blur his face out. Nobody will know. Nobody will know it's him.
You won't even know it's him anyway. He's kind of small on there. We wanted to share it with his ski instructor, and he said no. The kid is so like strong-willed. He wouldn't let me carry him out of the bowl that he was in. Like I wanted to pick him up, carry him out. He's like, nope.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like I would think I would share that with everybody. I'm like, yeah, look at that. I was walking the next day. I went up in the mountains and went playing in the snow. But yeah, you know, I ate it there, man. It was horrible.
How about you? Have you done any coding this week?
Not as much. I did a little bit. Oh, matter of fact, I should see if that's on there. I did a deployment. I don't think I even checked the deployment.
Smart. That's the way I do it too. Just deploy and
hope. I know, right? It's like, yeah, it's deploy. So speaking of deployments, oh yeah, it is there. I want to share this tag. My little. Sorry, I made some fixes to PHP Tech TV. We're getting our sponsorship kind of pumping up a little bit. Prompt is platinum. We talked about them a little bit last week. I'm not going to click on that link because, yeah, we're not clicking on that link. But Prompt, we're really happy to have them as platinum. But yeah, I did some stuff, and then I put a little. So this year, I'm trying to get my head around JavaScript. And this is a copy and paste situation. I by no means created this by any means, but I did it as
fun. With one eyeball right there.
Oh, there's a couple. The more you look at it, the weirder it gets. I'm telling you. But, you know, we have a mobile developer who does a bunch of JavaScript, and we started talking about it. It's like, yeah, you know what we should do? Like, as people buy tickets and they, you know, have an avatar of them at the conference and start replacing these people with avatars. So I might try to expand on this because I feel like that's achievable for me. I just need to find the time to do it where as people purchase tickets, you know, these faces get replaced with people who are actually at the conference. But yeah, fun little thing.
At least get rid of Cyclops. That's so weird.
Get rid of what?
The Cyclops.
No, man, the Cyclops, that's not the weird one to me. There's one around here. I'm like, why is that person here? They don't look like a developer. So, you know, Cyclops, there are three eyes and a fang at the bottom. Look at that. Three eyes and a fang. What is that? That doesn't even make sense. And they're wearing glasses and not a glass on the third eye. It doesn't make sense.
I missed it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to watch it. That's the one that freaks. There's another three eye fang person. That one doesn't have glasses. I guess they're a whole culture. There they are. He's behind there. Look at there. At the crossing.
I don't see. We can.
Don't tell me to move on, God damn it! This is my fucking show. I move on when I say I'm moving on. We got more blog post.
We're past the 5 minute marker. Now you can say it.
Yeah, yeah. We're at the. We need to run our sponsor ad, but now that we cuss, we need a little buffer between the cussing and the sponsor.
There you go.
If you're going to be in Chicago for the conference, this is only for the conference. It doesn't apply if you just travel to Chicago. All these places close after the conference. That's complete lie, but we have some new posts. The newest post is take me out to the ballpark and gives you the schedule of the two local baseball teams there, the Cubs and the White Sox, who ironically enough, before the conference, the week before the conference, play each other. I was talking to a friend today. I'm like, I don't know if that's good or bad because I feel like that would be the game I would go to because it's before the conference and I'm in town that weekend. So I'd probably go to that one because I'm not stressed out, but they're both Chicago teams. I just feel like that's going to be like a crowded game to go to because both fan bases are there.
Yep, I would think so.
Kind of not feeling that one so much, but it's the only, if you want to go to a Cubs game, that's really your only option because then they're out of town and they don't come back until the week after the conference. So choose wisely, I guess.
Speaking of the conference, there was conversation in Discord this week. Somebody wanting to know if anyone would recommend they stay downtown. And then people that have been there before, like Krell says, you're going to hate yourself for it. Getting back and forth will be a pain because it's not a short trip going from downtown back to the airport.
Yeah, even taking the L train is not a short trip. I mean, I will prefix that before you get too deep in your conversation. If you're a city person and you like that atmosphere, come a day early or 2 days early and stay downtown for a couple days, or stay a couple days later and stay downtown for a couple days. But yeah, to John's point, you don't really want to stay downtown and then travel to the conference every day.
It's not their point was they're bringing the family, and the family's going to be there during the conference. So they're trying to juggle that part of it. You know, you send the spouse and kid on their own from the conference to go downtown, or do you let them be downtown where you have to do the traveling?
Oh, that's a good question. So the selfish part of me would say, let them do the traveling to go downtown, because you take the L train and it's like part of the experience. It's fun, right?
Right.
So you have L train.
They have more time to, you know, wake up leisurely whenever you're ready, head out, go downtown, do whatever you want to do.
Well, plus all the stuff that happens. Like, it's hard to explain tech because it's very different than a lot of typical conferences. But because everything's in the hotel, like, there's always stuff happening, activities going on, like people playing board games, or, you know, like in the morning, you see people playing, you know, cards with each other that are part of the conference, but it's not part of the conference. It's just they're all there. They're all staying in the same place. So they get together and do things. And then the after hour stuff is, you know, a lot of fun. So there in our Discord, they say it's about an hour train ride, which I don't know. I mean, if you're on a train, that's not bad, right? Just chilling. So, especially, yeah,
if you don't have a schedule where when you're part of the conference, you have a schedule, you're supposed to be there in the morning for your, you know, the early session starting at 9.
Yeah. Yeah. I would make the family travel, to be honest with you. But that's just me being selfish. You could easily travel if you really wanted to. But I don't know if it buys you a lot, because even if you stay downtown and you have kids, they're going to want to go to things like Lincoln Park. And yeah, there's a free zoo there in Chicago that we went to 1 year. My point being, like, I don't know if there's a lot to do actually downtown for a young family or family with young people in it. There might be. So they're going to want to travel anyways. Like, they're going to want to get an Uber or jump on the train to go somewhere anyways. So you might as well do that from the conference hotel. That's my point. That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
I think I'm going to try to take the L train to the stadium this year, just because I haven't done that yet. It seems like that's a long train ride. Cam, if you're local or you know how long the trains are, how long would it take to get from the O'Hara Airport to Wrigley? Because it seems like it's long, but it looks like the train is like right there. Like, it lets off like a block or two away from the stadium. So I really think I want to give that a try.
Maybe we'll have to do that this year.
So as far as coding, we talked about deployments a little bit. Yeah, so I've been messing around a little bit with the conference site and a little bit with the tech TV site. Not so much client work, because I've been so busy with my client work.
Mm-hmm.
Good call, John. I didn't mention that. Before we get into that, we need to take a pause here, because we got some people we need to thank, and we're going to give Honey Badger a little time here.
When your app breaks in production, you want to quickly understand and fix it, not sift through logs for the next hour. That's where Honeybadger comes in. Honeybadger notifies you of errors, outages, and performance issues as they occur, and helps you respond instantly when your systems go down. When you need to dig deeper, Honeybadger's advanced query engine helps you reach into your logs and grab just the information you need. With error tracking, performance and uptime monitoring, log management, and support for over 10 languages, Honeybadger is the best tool to gain real-time insights into your application's health and performance. Best of all, it's free to get started, and setup takes less than 5 minutes. Be sure to bookmark honeybadger.io. That's www.honeybadger.io.
Thank you, Honeybadger.
Thank you, Honeybadger.
Actually, Honeybadger factors into my week note. Ironically enough, we've always said, and we've been very serious, we use Honeybadger. We used Honeybadger before they were a sponsor. We continue to use Honeybadger. It's an integral part of our monitoring system that we have for all of our client solutions.
And they make us pay still.
Huh?
And they make us pay still.
We actually pay them more than they pay us to do the ads. I don't know how that worked out. We need to raise our rates or something. But, you know, one of our clients, we talked about the buzz factor with one of our clients where a key person on that team left, and we were brought in to augment the team. So we don't have a lot of history with the platform or the apps or anything like that, but we did have a pretty good history with the person who was managing that environment when they brought us in. And they left, and it was very much a, you know, okay, who's doing what now? And that's, I've spent a lot of time on that client because of this over the last couple of weeks, just making sure processes were in place. And there's a couple of other components within the environment, like other vendors that they have to deal with, that I've just been getting more kind of comfortable with and understanding, along with our team. Joe has been doing a lot with them. Frank has been popping in a lot with them. Honey Badger, though, became a topic because the way we have Honey Badger set up is that it automatically creates a, when Honey Badger notifications fire, it creates a ticket in their ticketing system. And before, right, when this happened, the person who we were working with had enough of an understanding and was a developer where they would look at the tickets and understanding how it applies to their environment and how important the notification was or the alert was. They would prioritize the tickets and assign them out, you know, appropriately. They took on a lot of the tickets because a lot of them are pretty low level stuff. They assigned higher tickets or things that look like bigger problems to Michael, our developer. That wasn't happening, right? It's just like one of those things like, oh yeah, we forgot somebody's supposed to be doing this. So the kind of the person who's been put in place to watch over the environment, you know, it's their environment now, is not as much of a developer, but understands coding. Like they do development work, but they're not like, we're crazy people, right? We're so deep into it. But they kept getting all these notifications from Honey Badger. It's like, hey, like, these seem important. It's like, yeah, you should probably assign them to somebody, right? So we kind of started working through that, and like, it's just like, there's so many components that you don't think about because we don't do the sysops for this client. Not today. That might, you know, that can always change. But it's like, hey, you may know how backups are happening. Like, are backups happening? And like, if we need to restore a backup, how do we do that? So,
do we have any sort of disaster recovery plan?
Exactly. So I'm like, I nudge Joe. I'm like, hey, Joe, we should probably find out and document how backups are happening.
Not yet. We need to expand our contract with them first. Sounds like we're spending way more time right now than we should be.
It's not what we should be. What we should be is making sure they're happy and helping them. The compensation comes later. But what I was talking about is backups, is the way the current vendor is handling backups, because that's who we have to interact with if we ever need to do a restore. And we don't know who to talk to, how to initiate. We went to the interfaces. I'm like, there's no interface for backup here. Like, we don't even know how many backups are out there or when the backups are being taken. And so that was the sort of information we were looking to get, is just like, you know, just kind of get this stuff.
We need to not necessarily document the process for the customer, but let the customer know we're thinking about this stuff.
Right. Yeah. And document the process as far as like, if we say we need to do a restore, what does that look like? How does that look? Like, mm-hmm. Can we have an expectation of a point in time restore like we do with our other client? Spoiler, no, we cannot. But, you know, we have to open the ticket and the whole process. We should probably, and what I might recommend after we get a better handle on it, and depending on how long we stay with this vendor, because we've been with this vendor for a while, we should, you know, and everybody should do this, your DR plan. You should do a practice run. Like, we need to have an understanding of how long this actually takes to recover, what sort of data we miss. It sounds like they're doing dailies, weeklies, and monthlies. And so if the daily's happening every day at, you know, 1 a.m., then we should know if we end up in a DR situation that we just lost the previous 13 hours of data if we have to do a restore. So we have to do things like that. It's all, we got to get there. There's a lot going on right there. There's a lot of moving pieces right now. So, and then we have our mobile developer. Dude, we are so close to getting this mobile out the door. Like, I can just taste it. I got excited. We had our weekly meeting on that project today with Brooks, our mobile developer, and the client. And the client is very meticulous on documentation. One of the things I like about them is they document everything clearly. And the way they've been documenting the testing process of the mobile app is, it sounds corny. It really isn't as bad as it sounds, but they have this spreadsheet going in Google Docs, and each tab is a release. And basically the tab is all the same testing, all the same processes that they manually do. This is not automated processing. Like they want to see, like they want to touch it and do it and make sure everything worked. It's all the same processes. It's just for every release, they kind of do an end-to-end testing themselves. And there was no tab for the latest release, which was like the production release that we created. But the previous tab, everything was like green, except for a couple things that we had already known about. So I'm like, dude, are we done? Like, are we releasing? Like, is everything good? Because we hadn't heard from them. There's Slack channels that are open, that there's always conversation going on. Hey, I tried this. This doesn't look right. Blah, 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 blah. There was nothing. There was radio silence all week. And turned out they haven't tested yet. So, shit.
Damn it.
But we're close. We're very close. I'm hoping. I really, really, really want to get, at least want to get it done before tech. That's a milestone for me for a lot of personal reasons, but I'd like that be done as far as we're concerned and saying, okay, you know, this is going to some clients when we get back from tech.
Right. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
I'm assuming this is Sophie Ann. I'm 44 and will start learning programmation with PHP. Well, welcome to the community. If you're anywhere in the States, please come check out PHP Tech, where you can meet more people in the community, build your network of people you can talk to. You're always welcome in our Discord channel, because I know you're on YouTube right now. So come over to discord.phparch.com, and there's always people around to help. So again, always. Welcome to the community.
It's a great time. I have to admit, like, it's such a great time to be a developer because there's so many resources out there. Obviously, you're watching us on YouTube right now. If you can look at our catalog, we have a bunch of, you know, stuff, just general how-to sort of things. I mean, we have our podcast, Citizen Community Corner, our podcast, but Scott will do other ones. He just released one on Doc Blocks as well. Just these little tidbits of information. It doesn't get in depth like learning, but there's so much free content out there now. We've been a lifelong Laracast subscriber, not only for ourselves, but for our team. And I mean, I think I signed up for Laracast like the week Jeffrey Way released it. And then when John and I started our company and we had some developers, we're like, okay, we actually were one of the first team accounts on Laracast. I DM'd Jeffrey Way. I'm like, hey, you know, we have a couple of employees. We'd like to manage a team account. Do you have team accounts? He goes, I don't really have team accounts, but let me see what I can figure out. And then a couple of weeks later, he was like, okay, you know, I got these seats for you. Here's how it's going to work. So we were like one of the first team accounts in Laracast. I don't know how regular or how common knowledge it is that they have team accounts. But anyways, I say all that to say, still great content. If you're starting off and you want a end-to-end understanding of PHP development and frameworks and stuff, I have no shade on Laracast. Like, sign up. It's worth the money to have that organization of good content, curated content coming at you from one group. Laracast is top notch. They're the top tier. For me and my team, who are also, I consider, top tier people, like, we still pay for it and we still pay for the team account, but it's like nobody uses it. Like, we all, you know, we all have very, either very unique, specific things we're trying to learn that we have to go digging around and find other ways to do it. Or, yeah, that's what a lot of it is. Or we're teaching each other stuff. But, mm-hmm. yeah, I don't know, man. I wish we still pay for it. So here it is at Laracast. Laracast.com. Go here if you're starting out, if you're looking for some direction. What I really like about what he's done, I don't know how long this is because I don't come to the site. This used to be a daily place I went to just to see what new videos were up. But if they have these, not series is okay, but they have these paths now for learning a specific thing on how to do things. This path series looks pretty solid. Again, if you're starting out, especially if you're starting out, again, most of the stuff I wouldn't be interested in, and I haven't watched all the videos from end to end, but this is a good place to get started. The other thing, I lost Discord. I forget what the person's name is, but so Laracast, you don't have to pay. There are a lot of free stuff. There's a lot of free things on Laracast. I don't know what's free and what's not free because I obviously pay for everything. But
holy Laracast ad.
Yeah. So, yeah. So get there. Do YouTube. Find out what you're comfortable with. Yeah, and just start learning. I mean, and stay in our Discord. PHP, I will always say PHP's got one of the best communities as far as, especially if you show a true interest in it and you don't come in, you know, talking about how this is stupid or why am I doing this or that. If you're really interested in learning, there's probably not a better group of people to be around than the PHP community.
And speaking of the PHP community, have you seen the security audit that they did?
I have not. We have a security audit.
Yes. The foundation paid what sounds like a fair amount of money because they couldn't do the entire code base for PHP, but they did do significant chunks. And
completion of a comprehensive security audit of PHP source code. Oh, this is pretty awesome.
Yep. And I mean, if you read the PDF, which is huge, and I've read every single word of it, I'm lying. It's over 100 pages long, for crying out loud. But looking at the executive summary, it's a little different than what they say in here. If you scroll, no, right there, key findings, you are all right there. So they say 3 high, 5 medium, and 9 low, but actually in there, it's 2 high, 6 medium, and then 9 low severity issues. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that there are two that are like, we're not going to share details until after they're fixed. So
really? There were two like that?
Yeah.
Nice.
One of them was in the medium tier, so I'm assuming here they bubble that up to high severity.
Yeah, that's only a little terrifying to hear. Where's the PDF? I don't see where you download.
It's that at the very bottom. There's 3 links, and that very first one, the audit report, that is the PDF.
Oh, look at that. Open right up in the same tab.
Perfect. Yeah. So
executive summary.
And if you scroll down to page 7 in there, it's the executive summary.
Yeah. This is fantastic.
The fact that they spent money to have this done and to only have a couple of really serious things shows the maturity of PHP and the fact that we want to keep making the language better. The internals wants to keep making the core better, more secure, faster. It's just all around good news. So I'm so happy to have seen that they did this.
Yeah. Yeah. This is terrifying to see because, you know, this is bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, like even these high ones, like, yeah, there's, you know, there's, so most of these, I'm not going to say most of these, I haven't read this, but a lot of times you find out like, oh yeah, the security thing is, oh, the person needs access to the machine, or it's, you know, these weird circumstances that trigger them. Not saying that they're not security issues, but it's like, it's not like somebody's going to come in through your website and, you know, steal your birth certificate or something like that.
Right. But things are being addressed. So this was done prior to the 8.4 release. So I haven't read this all either, but I believe all of these things were fixed prior to 8.4 coming out.
Mm-hmm. This is cool. Yeah, if you make a living off PHP, especially if you're in a role that you're in charge of, you know, the technological decisions of your company, you take a moment, read this, please. It feels like it's important to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is great, man. I'm glad to, and this just recently came out. Did I see the 10th or something?
Yeah.
The 10th. April 10th is when they published the blog post. Right. So they'll start that.
So they started this. Actually, the date on the PDF says March 14th.
Yeah. So you figure they took a few weeks to review it and talk about it and discuss it. And
they started it September of last year, it looks like.
Wow. God, I wonder how common that is. Like, how often do open source projects, because you got to remember, this is still an open source project, right? Like, how often do open source projects put themselves through that sort of scrutiny, you know, so by themselves? Like, they do it to themselves. I feel like that's a big deal. We should talk more about that.
I mean, if you make a living off of PHP as your main programming language, you should be supporting the foundation. The PHP.Foundation, I believe it is. And
yes,
I mean, it goes to help support things like this, helping make the language better.
And they really do. And the cool thing about the foundation, again, not to start a whole nother commercial for another organization, but they're open and transparent about everything, including their finances. So you, because they do pay a pool of core developers some money, like I don't know if you'd call it a salary. I mean, I think it's considered a salary, but they allocate money to people who contribute to the core. All that stuff is, you can read about. There's all the finances and stuff are on there. My biggest gripe probably about the foundation is this right here. We're not on this page. What the hell? Why are we not? Come on, guys. Give you guys money. So. But yeah, it's
money, just not as much as others.
I disagree, because it's I've looked at the finances and we're getting up there with the money we give. I'm championing us on this. It's a technicality because we pay every month, and a lot of these are just like lump sum payments that people pay. But
and we've paid under two different companies.
And we paid under. That's very true. I always forget about that little piece of information. And we were paying under two different companies the same amount. Like, it was like we were contributing the same amount from two companies. Yeah, I forgot about that. It was funny because John, recently we tried to figure out whose account was actually paying them, because both him and I had created PHP Architect accounts, but mine was originally the DAO dev one, and I think that's why it got accredited under there.
Yeah.
So yeah, you used to be able to see all the contributors. That's what I was looking for. That's why I keep scrolling up and down, but
now they've got so many individuals.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's a lot of people contributing now. So yeah, check it out. Yeah, good people, good group of people. I mean, they've always been here. They've always been doing the internals. Just now, they have a little. And I always like to say, to make it clear, that the PHP Foundation is not technically PHP internals. It's a foundation that is focused on the internal development of PHP, but it's not internals itself.
Sarah said she's blocking us from getting on that list until you do some more roundtables.
That makes sense. That tracks. Yeah. Yeah, you say that. Actually, you know what I haven't checked? Did we actually create our conference on PHPNet this year?
Yes.
We did. Okay.
That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Okay.
You might want to
I can't even remember where the hell it's at anymore. Like, I don't remember where to find this stuff anymore.
I'm pretty sure I did.
I feel like one of us did. That's under conferences. Here, I'm loading it now. Under conferences here. We can it's an open source project. We can look together, but oh no, you have to submit an XML file or something. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like an XML file in here somewhere. I don't know where it's at right now, but yeah, it's, we'll pretend like we did. Nobody knows how to get there on the website, so I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I see PHP Tech 2025.
Where's that?
Right here. Whoops. Link incoming right about now.
Coming in where? We got so many open things here.
Trello. It's in Trello because that's where I share stuff.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, there it is right there. Cool.
Without the brackets in the... Oh, you're not sharing that one, are you?
I shared what you're linking to.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Oh, the brackets are still here. These brackets are going away next year, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, PHP Tech. Cool. Cool. Even the right URL. So yeah, one of us must have done this because we're the only two that remember to use the correct URL.
Yep. I've been trying to stay on top of that stuff.
Good job.
So not only is this the 30th anniversary of PHP, turns out it is also the 20th anniversary of Git that was shared in Discord as well.
I have this muted. Tell me if it starts talking. I muted the video.
Okay.
Wait, boom, share.
It is 40 minutes long, so I have not watched it yet because I literally saw this minutes before we...
Oh, he's looking old, man. Linus.
I think we all are, actually.
Yeah, we're all getting old. I heard a story. I don't know if it's true. I haven't watched this. I haven't seen it. So Linus created Git because he was frustrated with SVN and I forget what the other option was back in the day.
CVS.
Yeah, Subversion. Dude, I remember setting up a Subversion server. It made no sense to me how it worked. But anyways, in the story I heard is that he wanted to manage his versioning offline because he was getting on a plane to fly to another country. So he was going to be on a plane for a while. And the story I heard is that's when he wrote Git on the plane to make it. He was writing a program to manage his versioning of his, you know, development work offline. And I'm like, dude, like to be that big of a goddamn stud. It's like, I'm getting on a plane. Like I've been programming PHP for a while. If I get on a plane, I still need internet access because I need to see the docs, man. I'm gonna be looking shit up. There's no question. Like you put me in a cave, I still need access to like the docs somehow. So this guy just gets on and creates one of the biggest, you know, versioning solutions out there. It's insane. I'm in him once.
I sure hope he has at least a little piece of GitHub.
He was here. Yeah, right. He should get like 3 cents for every commit everybody ever makes.
Three.
Yeah. He was at a conference at Linux Expo here in San Diego and just ran into him in the hallway and said, "Hey, you do some good work, man. Thanks." Yeah, good guy. I know he can be abrasive. It seems like all the like really smart people who do big things are a little abrasive. That was always one of my bigger criticisms of Taylor and the creator of Laravel. I always thought like somebody needs to take his Twitter handle away from him because he's a little quick to reply. And I don't think he thinks through his replies all the time, but yeah, you know, I guess when you're that deep into it, you don't really want to listen to bullshit from other people.
Right.
Everybody's got advice. Ooh.
I'm going to do it your way or else.
You know what we didn't talk about? I want to talk about because we're running a little long here, but we forgot last week to discuss
It's on the queue to discuss. Look at Trello.
Do it.
Well, so it ties into the wiki. So there's a new RFC out to bring true async into PHP, making it part of the language because you can do asynchronous type things now. Mm-hmm. You've been able to do it forever if you want to really get down to managing everything yourself with like P control and forks, which I used to do a lot of, even though I'm not like real good at it. I've been able to do stuff like this for years.
Mm-hmm.
other things have come on the market, including OpenSwole, which allows you to do asynchronous code or manage concurrency a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And now there is a movement with this RFC to make it even easier to get your code into more of an asynchronous type environment, being able to run things asynchronously without having to manage all of the little nuts and bolts behind the scenes.
All right. What's your thoughts on this?
It's going to be nice. If we, right now, everything's in user land, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it becomes part of core, it becomes faster. It's in the doctrines at the doctrine. It's in the mindset of the people writing this RFC that you shouldn't have to change your code. Like right now, to use some of the other tools, you really have to know coroutines and how all the pieces play together, and you have to manage a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
Where, according to this, they want to make it as seamless as possible unless you want to force it to act a different way.
Okay.
So I'm excited about that. But again, they brought up, you can do this today with Swole.
Mm.
And we happen to have just released the book on OpenSwole. So that is available now on phparch.com. Where's our image? Oh, it's over there on the right.
Yes, sir.
And jacked PHP.
This is out there now, a digital and print format.
Yeah.
This was fun. This is a fun one to help publish. Yeah. Who's the author? I'm trying to find.
Yeah, it's right there.
Oh. No, we need the, like, in our columns, we need to have, like, the face there and stuff.
No, yeah. Yes. So, Savio Resende.
Yeah, is it Resende? No, no, yeah, good guy, though. He's very passionate about this.
I think he's going to be at Tech. I'm going to go check.
He should be at Tech. He should be speaking at Tech. So that's what I'm trying to understand. How do you not know this?
Nope.
So,
he's not going to be there.
Here.
Savio, are you going to be at Tech?
Is he in Discord?
Yep. Savio. Well, he's not in there now. But
yeah, so the sync thing, I went in checking out the externals. Again, if you ever see an RFC that interests you and why would you be worried? Nothing to be worried about. If you're curious about the conversation that's going on around that RFC, just pop over to externals. And this is the whole, you know, threads. There's actually, it looks like there's a couple of conversations that have happened around this one. What do I think about it, John? I'm glad you asked. I appreciate you asking. Yeah.
I didn't ask because talk about it. You didn't even have time to read it.
I feel like this is something, well, I understand the premise of it. I feel like this is something we should have had already. Like, this is great. I mean, how many solutions out there where that's their big talking point, right? It's like, oh yeah, PHP, you know, you got to jump through hoops to make it asynchronous. This is asynchronous. It's like, yeah, no, it'll be built into core now. I'm curious about where people stand on this. I'd love to read through this one. I'm going to have to probably read through this a little bit.
Yeah.
And just to keep it in mind, RFCs are not happening. These are requests for comments. These are proposals that are out there. Typically, they have sample code where they show, you know, it's doable, it's possible, and what it would look like. These are just the discussions around those thoughts. So this is not targeted for any release yet, right? No release.
No.
Not at all. It hasn't been voted on yet, I imagine.
The really nice thing about this RFC is if you haven't done anything with asynchronous stuff before, I mean, we all have with JavaScript to some point, but getting down into the nuts and bolts of it, they have a whole glossary here telling you what a coroutine is, scope, task group, so you can kind of start to understand how async code even works.
Right.
And then they get into, you know, a little bit of, I'm assuming this is pseudocode, or what, how they think this could work.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and to your point, I mean, it's like those other solutions like React, PHP, and Swole. Yeah, they're great, and they're definitely, you know, functional. They do what they are advertised to do. But the idea of not having to be dependent on another package to do this is very appealing, man.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it just becomes like like a boolean in a PHP INI file or something. Like, you know, you want asynchronous or don't. I don't know why you wouldn't, but I guess there could be reasons.
Well, based on what I'm reading here, it looks like you're going to have to basically spawn things out if you want it to be asynchronous.
So right. That makes so much sense.
So the whole point is your code should work as it does today. And then if you want it to be asynchronous and do more, you can.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Cool, man. Sarah in Discord shared the link to sponsors. Thank you, Sarah. I'm not going to share it with everybody unless I see our face on the front page. It's not there, Sarah. We're going to have that conversation. That will be our next round table on why doesn't PHP Architect get more credit for what they do. There we are, right there. Right around there. Even shows you how much we've contributed. Again, this is only one of the companies. We had another one that we've cut off. I wonder if they're still on here. Diego Dev is still on here. So we have $4,000 under Diego Dev and over $6,000 of PHP Architect, which puts our grand total at over $10,000. John,
you are correct.
I don't see a whole lot of $10,000 people on here. Just saying, damn it.
You see a $214,000 right there. $325,000 right there.
You don't have to point those out, John. I'm not saying we're platinum tier sponsors.
Yeah. Now, Sarah was pointing out that I was the one that opened the PR to add PHP Tech 2025 to PHP.
Oh, sure. Give yourself credit, John. Only talk about you, John.
Yay. Pat myself on the back.
You should.
Actually, thank you, Sarah, for patting me on the back.
Because I did forget about that. I think I might have. Oh, I'm not sharing that anymore. I think I might have done a PR, like when we were announcing like call for speakers or something, but I definitely did not go back and do what you did, obviously. So good work. Thank you for doing that.
Silver tier is 12K. Is it 12K at once or is it 12K over?
You're rambling. What are you talking about? Silver tier. Oh, Sarah in Discord.
Silver tier for the foundation.
So if we do another $2,000, do we get counted as silver tier, Sarah? Why don't no, you?
Because it's under two different accounts. Somehow we got to combine matter. Those.
Still $12,000.
You over think now. They're going to go and manually say, "Oh, these guys are such great guys. We need to combine it for them."
They don't have to. We did that already for them. I've announced it. They just have to listen to me and make me a goddamn silver tier sponsor. What's so difficult there, John? For you to understand, it's all about my recognition. As PHP Architect. Damn it.
I get it.
All right, speaking of not getting recognition before he was
paid. Open a support ticket. Can you please combine these two accounts, merge them?
Let me see if this other conference that we're sponsoring is giving us recognition yet. Nope, they're not. Damn it. Yeah, they did change their come back and check on hotels April 15th, which was 2 days ago. So you're going to have to put that one again. Maybe you need to put that pull request in, John. Let's see. Change it April to May. Just forget about it. I'm not going to say the name of the conference, but you can probably lyrics figure it out. I am excited to be sponsoring that one. That's going to be fun. You're going to join me in Denver, so that'll be interesting.
We may be sleeping on the streets because we still don't have a hotel.
We don't have a hotel, and you know, yeah. That's going to be fun. I don't even know where to stay. I don't even know if Denver has hotels. It might not. You might just, it's, that's like country living, man. You just sleep under a tree and that's it.
Tent on the sidewalk.
No, that's San Francisco, dude.
and Portland.
yeah, that's right. In Portland. I still don't think Portland was nearly as bad. San Francisco has just gotten, especially downtown, is just gotten so out of hand. It's crazy. Hopefully they do something to clean that up at some point. Okay, I'm done talking to you, man. Like, we haven't talked a week. Now we've talked for an hour. That's pretty much my tolerance of you. Yeah.
If you're not going to PHP Tech, I'd love to know why. Shoot me a DM. Let me know if there's anything we could do to help get you there.
Yeah. I would love PHP Tech to be free, but the reality of it is it's not going to happen. I mean, even if we got sponsors to pay, like, you know, if we got four times the sponsors we have, it still wouldn't like cover like food for everybody. Like that those would like be the hard, like there would be no lunch if you wanted a conference to be like $50 like scale. Because I'm always envious of scale. Scale is like, you know, I think scale was $30 or $40 or in just like tech. Like there's codes everywhere. Like if you watch their live stream like right now, I'm sure you'd see a code up on the screen right now for going to like a conference like tech. But yeah, it's expensive, but it's fun. It's so worth it. It's an investment. And if you work for a company that pays you to code, it's chump change to them. They should be sending you. They're doing themselves. It's costing them more money not to send you to tech because of what you're not learning that you would learn at tech. What you learn at tech is worth 10 times the ticket price. Tell your boss.
Back when I started going to conferences, I would go, I'd learn a ton of stuff, and I'd actually go back with and make a PowerPoint and say, here's what I learned and here's how I'm going to implement it at the business. And like, here's things we can and should be doing. So it gave me so many ideas to make that business more money or more secure or faster, more in line with today's best practices. You know, one year it was all about password security because I was doing it the way I learned when I was young, and it was simple MD5 hash, and quickly learned that's not how you store passwords. So when you're talking to people, you're like, oh, I probably shouldn't do that.
But we all did when we started.
I'm kind of lying because at that point it was clear text passwords in the database.
I don't think I ever did clear text, but I did the whole salting of a hash and thinking, yeah, nobody will crack that.
Yeah.
Oh man. So yeah.
Back in the day.
In the just the people you meet, the network you build is just insane. So insane. Such good people there.
Yep. Alrighty.
Okay. That's it. That's gonna do it for this week. Are we good to go next week, Mr. I don't know, I might work this week and not work next week. Whatever.
Next week, I don't think I'm working next week, am I?
You're full of it.
Actually, we do need to discuss next week, but we can do it after this. I have a baseball game.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Yep.
Maybe next week.
We may have to start the podcast a tiny bit earlier.
Or we have PHP Roundtable next week. Sarah, are you busy next week? We'll figure it out. We'll have a podcast one way or the other. It might be a different time, or it might be a different title.
We'll see.
All right. That will be it. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us. We appreciate each and every one of you.
Thank you.
If you're not subscribed to our YouTube channel, please do so. It helps. It's the only like metrics we kind of watch to see how much people are paying attention to what we're talking about, and if it makes sense, if it resonates with you. Did you have something else, John, to cut you off?
Nope. I was just saying thank you for listening and watching and being part of the community.
All right. Peace out.
Bye.
This has been PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.